Again to the word of the Lord, turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And tonight we want to bring as our text that in the verse 45, just at the end of that wonderful chapter, Mark's Gospel, just coming down to the 45th verse, and those few words at the end, and it says, "And they came to him from every quarter." With our word of God open and our Bibles open, let us turn and let us ask the Lord to come and minister to us as we turn to his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for your presence with us this far. We thank you, Lord, for the help that you've given in the leading of the meeting. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry and song, and Lord, how it has thrilled our hearts and souls. And Lord, we thank thee for these old hymns of Zion, Lord, written many years ago, but yet, Lord, they're still as fresh and as good as the day they were ever penned. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to always learn the hymns and to learn the scriptures. And Lord, as the psalmist said in thy word, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so, Father, we pray that as we turn to thy word, Lord, what a responsibility lies upon the preacher. For Lord, thou hast said in thy word, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And O God, I pray for judgment day honesty. I pray, O God, for help from heaven through the power of thy spirit. For Lord, what am I? I'm only the clay, Lord, but thou art the potter. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill this vessel with thy power and with thy spirit. Lord, may we not preach in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but O God, may we preach in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And Lord, if there's one in this meeting from whatever quarter of this world society they live, Lord, thou hast promised that, Lord, where there is a seeking sinner, there is a seeking Savior. Lord, bring that sinner to thee tonight. Lord, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And may they hear words plainly, whereby they can and must be saved. Lord, undertake now, and lead and give help for Jesus' sake. Amen. Tonight I would like to turn your attention to that passage that we read together, and coming down to that verse 45 and the very end of that verse, and it says, "And they came to him from every quarter." Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're gathered in a church, in a building, and we're met together in this meeting under the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that is why the Word of God is centered and the pulpit is centered in the room. And as it even says on the wall, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That is our message tonight. We preach none other than Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And the Lord says in His Word that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto thyself. And so therefore, as God's people, we look tonight for the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ, in his power and his glory, would draw sinners unto himself. It is the responsibility of the preacher to be faithful. Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to Christ and his glory, and in the full message of the gospel of the cross. But more importantly also, to be faithful to the individual who is without Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what part of the work, of the Lord's work we're involved in, bear this in your mind always, that one day, each one of us individually will have to stand before God and give an account for our service, for what we have done. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I come with a heavy heart, because I believe in this meeting there are those and you're still not saved. And it is my heart's desire tonight is that you would not leave this building without Christ, but that you would come to the Savior, that you would be saved, and that you would be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you would be ready to meet the Lord. meet the Lord. We have read together from the Word of God. And they came to Him from every quarter. You know, if we were to take time tonight and just go down into chapter 2. And we've got this wonderful passage of how the Lord Jesus Christ has returned from His ministry. He has come back to the house. And the moment He enters into the house, it is noised about that the Lord is in the house. Isn't that wonderful? You see, ladies and gentlemen, where Christ is, where the Lord is, where His presence is, then the people will gather unto the Lord. The moment they begin to hear that the Lord is in the house, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and it was noised that He was in the house. That is the Lord Jesus. In verse 2 it says, and straightway many were gathered together. Isn't that wonderful? Ladies and gentlemen, young people, we long for the day. We long for the day. Again, when men and women will hear the sound that the Lord is in the house, that the Lord is amongst His people, and that people will gather in again in such a fashion that there's no room. No room. Because that's what it says here. That straightway they gathered into the house, that there was no room to receive them. Isn't that wonderful? Did the Lord entertain them? Did the Lord bring out gimmicks and use jokes and theories? No, my Bible tells me in verse 2 of chapter 2, and He preached the Word. Do you see it? He preached the Word. He preached Himself, the kingdom of God, and man's need of salvation. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, that is our responsibility. To preach the Word of God. This pulpit was never built for clowns. It was built for preachers. It was built for men to preach the Word of God and to preach it faithfully. That's what it was put for. Not as an entertainment place. If you want to be an entertainer or whatever, go and join a circus and be a clown because there's plenty of them. But my friend, there's a great responsibility upon the preacher. Because he must be faithful. He must be true. And in his message, he must preach Christ and Him crucified. And I think of this thought. And they came unto Him from every quarter. If I was to ask everyone in this room, and don't panic, I'm not going to ask everyone who's saved in this meeting to come up into this pulpit and give your testimony of how you came to come to know the Lord. I guarantee you, and you would say it yourself, that every testimony would be different. Every man's testimony would be different. There were those in this meeting who were saved early and young in life. There were those who were saved in their teenage life. There were those who were saved in their old life. And their backgrounds would be different. But my dear friend, they have all come to the one place. They have all come to the cross. They've all come to Christ and they're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, my friend, we all come from different quarters of society and background. Farmers, joiners, electricians, accountants, teachers, nurses, doctors. We all come from different parts of society. And this was the people that the Lord was drawing unto Himself. As He went through the synagogues and through the villages, my dear friend, He preached the gospel. He preached of the kingdom to come. He preached of salvation, and men needed to repent. And as the Lord went about preaching and teaching, many gathered unto Him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, young people, in this day and age, and I urge young men tonight to be faithful to the cross and to the blood. You see, the Lord gathers in the people. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And my dear friend, if we're faithful in preaching Christ and preaching the cross and preaching the blood, then I believe with all of my heart the Lord will do His work. And that is salvation, because the Bible tells us that salvation is of the Lord. That's it. It's the Lord that saves. It's not the church that saves. It's not the doctrines or the creeds or whatever. It's Christ that saves. And my dear friend, tonight, I'm asking you and I'm pleading with you to look away from whatever it is that's holding you back and look to Christ. Look to the cross. That hymn we sung together. That there is a fountain filled with blood, drawing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the church. My friend, look to Calvary tonight. Look to the center tree. Look to the cross. See the Son of God as He's there, hanging, bleeding, and dying in your room instead. From whatever quarter you're gathered in this meeting tonight, whatever your background is, my dear friend, listen. Jesus can save, and He will save to the uttermost. But I want tonight to, just quickly, with the time we have, to just show you the type of people that the Lord drew and the quarters in which they come from. Will you turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3? And a wonderful passage. And here we have a religious man, a well-known passage. And we see a man drawn from the recorders of religion. His name is Nicodemus, a self-righteous man. Nicodemus was one who sat within the Sanhedrin. He was a spiritual leader in Israel. And yet the Bible says, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. And that night, as he came unto the Lord began to tell Nicodemus, He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He went on to point these things out to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said in verse 4, And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. My friend, here was a man who was steeped in religion. Here was one who the people would have went to ask for spiritual advice. But when he's alone with the Lord says, Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here is this religious leader coming from the quarters of religion, and he's coming to the Son of God. And the Lord sees these, puts these things to him. And Nicodemus says in verse 9, And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can they be? And the Lord said to Nicodemus, Jesus answered in verse 10, Art thou a master of Israel? And knowest not these things? And I wonder, my dear friend, as I bring this out tonight from this quarter of religion, have you all your life been brought up in the gospel? You all your life steeped in religion, thinking that your good works are good enough to get you into heaven, thinking your charitable works, your charitable deeds, and not offending your neighbor, and all those things are good, and you've been steeped in it from the cradle. But tonight you're not saved. You can maybe preach the gospel better than I can. You can maybe quote the verses of Scripture better than I can. But my friend, listen, are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in Christ? Are you hoping? Is that all it is, just hoping that your good works, that your religion, whether you're dedicated, baptized, or whatever, that's good enough to get you into the kingdom of God? See, my friend, the Lord makes it plain and simple. He says, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here was a man coming from the depths of religion. He was well catechized. He was well nurtured. He was well grounded in the religion of Islam and of Israel. But he didn't know this. This one great thing he did not know, that he needed to be born again. And that night I believe that Nicodemus got wonderfully saved. He came from the background of religion. And he came to Christ. And he was saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. My dear friend, that could be you tonight. Coming from the quarters of religion. Coming tonight to the cross. Realizing that all your self-righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags. And bowing your knee at the cross. And accepting Christ as your own and personal Savior. From the quarters of religion. But I want you to go back to Mark's Gospel chapter 2, or chapter 1. They came from the quarters of sickness and disease. If you follow down verse 32, go back up to verse 32 of Mark Gospel chapter 1. And verse 32 it says, "And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city were gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devil to speak, because they knew him." Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming from the quarters of sickness. Is there not much sickness in our land today? There's not a family in this country who has not been hit by sickness. I tell you, when you go to a bed in hospital and you know that person has only got weeks or months to live, I don't care how hard you are, when you look into that bed, you can see that little life just fading away. Here were people who were in the depths of great sickness and great disease. But they came to the Lord. They came to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I know of many cases where men and women have been put on their back. And I, even before ours, before they drifted out into eternity, I know of those, thank God, trusted Christ even in their latest hours. That takes a great pastoral work to go to the bedside of someone who is dying and tell them the need of a Savior. And yet we have it in the Word of God that many that were sick, many that were possessed with devils, many that were possessed with many diseases, they came unto him. And the Lord healed them. In chapter 2, we know that they brought a man who was sick of a palsy, and they brought him on a bed and they let him down through the roof. And when the Lord saw their faith, he said to the man sick of a palsy, Thy faith have made thee whole. Go. He said, take up thy bed and walk. Here were four men. And they knew their friend was dying. And if they never got their friend to the Savior, he was going to be lost. But they knew that if we can only get our friend who is sick, if we can only get him to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord is able to do the rest. He's able to do the rest. And the Lord was in that meeting, and the roof was open, and he can see the bed coming down, and he sees the faith that is in these four men, because they know if we can just get them to where the Lord is, then the Lord will do the rest. You see, my friend, the Lord is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost, to the whosoever will. I remember a few years ago going back with a great old friend of mine. He was diagnosed with cancer. He wasn't saved. And remember how that had prayed long for him. And I remember how he had asked and called for one of the ministers. And thank God that the minister that day had the joy of leading him to the Lord. I went into his home at home, went into his little room, and he could barely open up his eyes. He said, "Stephen, what have you to say to me?" And I said, "Billy, I'm glad to hear that you're now saved and you're trusting in the Lord. And I want to read you this little verse from Isaiah 43 that said, 'When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.'" See, ladies and gentlemen, thank God even in Billy's sickness, God gave him time, spurred him, give him mercy to seek the Savior. You see, they came unto the Lord from every quarter. They came from the quarters of religion. They came from the quarters of sickness. And I want you to turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 4. And now they're coming from the quarters of sinful backgrounds. You see, the religious type, they're self-righteous. Sometimes you'll find when you're in the street doing open air work or outreach work, those are usually the hardest to speak to, those who are very self-righteous, and they'll tell you, "We've got our church, we've got our wee man, and we don't need Christ or religion." That's just simply their answer. But here we come to look at an individual who was deep in sin, and yet she came to the Lord. And it's the lady at the well, and it says in verse 6, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, 'Give me to drink.'" Now here you can put the picture in your mind. The Lord again is weary from his journey. The disciples have gone into the town to buy meat. And this lady of Samaria, in the sixth hour, she comes to Jacob's well to draw water. And the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And the Lord turns to the lady in verse 10 and he's in verse 9, verse 8, "For this the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And thus saith the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest ask of him, and he wouldest have given thee living water.'" This lady's confused. She's puzzled at this. She can't understand this. You being a Jew, and you ask me to give you a drink of water? This is uncommon. This isn't ordinary. The Lord says, "But if you knew it was who was asking you to give you the water and the gift of God." And then the Lord points out to her in verse 13, "And Jesus said unto her, 'Whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again.'" And then the Lord says in verse 15, "The woman said unto him, 'Sir, thou givest me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Go call thy husband and come hither.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he who is thou with is not thy husband, in that saying thou truly.'" See the Lord getting to the matter. "How do you know all this? I have no husband. See? But you have five. And the one you're with now is not your husband." You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord points out the matter and the problem. He points out the sin. And he says, "Listen, no matter what your sin is, no matter what your background is, if you will come to this fountain and you will drink of this water that I shall give you, you shall never thirst again." Ladies and gentlemen, young people, I know that in Northern Ireland there's a lot of sickness. But I also know in Northern Ireland there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of broken homes. There's a lot of broken hearts. There's a lot of ruined lives. But what a wonderful message tonight. When there are those in these streets of ours, and they're looking tonight in the pubs, they're looking in the bottle for satisfaction, for joy, and for happiness. And we can say, like the hymn writer, I've tried the broken cisterns, but all the water's failed. There's none but Christ can satisfy. My dear friend, if they'd only come to the fountain of living water and taste and see that the Lord is good, my friend, He will take away the habit of drinking. He will take away the drugs that chain the drug addict today. He will clean up the immoral and iniquity that is in our land. My friend, if they'll only come to Christ and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. That lady that day, she took that drink and she went back into the town and she says, come, see a man that told me all things. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the people that the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing to Himself. He's drawing sinners from every quarter. No matter what the background is, whether it's the background of religion, whether it's the background of sickness and illness and disease, whether it's the background of sinful and evil lives. My dear friend, tonight, Christ is in this meeting and He's calling sinners unto Himself. No matter what the background is, no matter what the sin is, no matter what the position is in your life, my friend, tonight, I have good news for you tonight. You can be saved from your sin. You can be set free and your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. If you'll only come to Christ. If you'll only come to the Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they came unto Him from every quarter. There's one more that I just want to think of, and I'll ask you to turn to that, or time is gone. That's the Apostle Paul, who was known as Saul. And Saul was a real troublemaker to the Church of Christ. He persecuted the saints. He hunted them out. He went through and made havoc of the church. The Bible tells us that Saul made great havoc of the church, binding men and women that he found in this way in the faith of Christ and putting them in prison, aye, and putting them to death. And when he was on his way to Damascus to destroy the church of Christ at Damascus, it was on that Damascus road that the Lord stepped in and the Lord saved the life of the Apostle Paul. Listen, He could have took him out. He could have made him fall off his horse and break his neck, and he would have been out in eternity and he would have been in hell tonight. But God was merciful to him. God spared him. And God saved him. And when God saved Saul, He turned him into the Apostle Paul. And Paul became a mighty preacher for God. Where the man that made havoc and wrecked the church, he became one of the great founder builders of the Christian church in the New Testament. He wrote the epistles of the Word of God. What am I getting at? My dear friend, God doesn't see what you have been. But God sees what you can be if you'll only come to Christ and be saved. There could be a young man in this meeting tonight as George Hudson Spurgeon made his way into that little chapel and the wee elder got up and he says, look unto me and be ye saved. That night George Hudson Spurgeon gave his heart and life to Christ. What did God do through the life of that young man? God made George Hudson Spurgeon one of England's greatest preachers of the gospel. And tonight in this meeting you could be a rogue. You could be a thief. You could be a scoundrel. You could be a dirty rascal. But tonight, praise God, you could be saved. You could be saved. Why? Because Jesus loves you. And He wants to save you. I remember sitting down along the barn in Portadown one Saturday night. And we haven't been doing that for a while. Because sometimes you don't get home to maybe late hours of the Sunday morning. And I remember sitting down at the van with these young people. There was this young lad, and He had a Buckfast bottle and he was completely nearly out of his mind. And there sitting in the dark in that clay park. I said, well, you know, I know why you're probably here and I know why you do the things you do. But do you ever think of giving it up? Do you ever think of coming to the Lord and being saved? He says, you know, mister, there's nothing for us young people to do when we sit here, smoke fags and drink Buckfast wine. That lad was 14 years of age. He says, can you tell me this? Does God really love me? Does he? I says to him sitting there in that part, he says, you know, in my Bible it tells me God does. And I'm only going to turn you to one verse. I said, that young man. And I said, that's John 3:16. And my Bible tells me this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My Bible says this clearly, that whosoever, that means you, young man, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God's word tells me, and I believe it. I remember another young child, and I do say a child, because that's all it was, just a child. And the two lads lifted that little 11-year-old child, and they sat him into the taxi, and they gave the driver a fiver. And they gave him the address of the home and they told the taxi man to bring him home. I said to the two lads that sat him in the taxi, I said, where is that child's mother and father? So what do they care? They're just up the town in the next pub up the town. You see why I'm here with a heavy heart? Bring you a message that's plain and simple. But God loves you. The Lord wants to save you. And he wants to set you free. My friend, it doesn't matter how deep in sin you are tonight. Thank God you can be saved tonight. I don't want to know what badness or evil or what you've done. Listen, don't tell it to me. The Lord knows already about it. Just get to the cross. Get saved. Get washed in the blood of the Lamb. And live your life for God. Live your life for Christ. I give you my testimony this morning. That was over 20 years ago. And I set the bottle down and turned my back on the world to follow the Lord. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's been no disappointment. No disappointment. I know what it is to be lying in the gutter in your own vomit. I know what it is to try and crawl and make your way home. But I thank God. If you're in your vomit, you're in your gutter. There's one could lift you out of it. And that's the Lord. That's the Lord. My hometown, Portadown, is broken sin. And what is the only hope for Portadown tonight? It's Christ. And that's why I say to you from this passage, they came unto him from every quarter. Oh Lord, bring them from every quarter. Bring them from the quarters of drugs. Bring them from the quarters of alcohol. Bring them from the quarters of immorality. Bring them from the quarters of religion. Bring them to Christ. Lord, save our town. Save our country. Lord, even save in this meeting tonight. My friend, you're not here by accident. You're not here by a mistake. God has planned your circumstances. Your whole background, your whole, whatever you were thinking of doing in this hour, God has changed that. And God has brought you here tonight for this one purpose, that you again will hear words whereby you can and must be saved. God has brought you to this meeting tonight to give you another opportunity to get right with God and to be saved and to washed in the blood of the Lamb. And my friend, as I close this meeting tonight, I just want to point you again to Christ. Look to Calvary. Look to the cross. See Him there as He hangs and bleeds and dies in your room instead. Wasn't that John Newton who wrote, and they said, "In evil long I took delight in all my shame and fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is filled. My heart is filled to think He died for me." Are you going to leave this meeting again without the Savior? Are you going to leave this meeting with your heart just the way it was you came in? Far away from God. Oh, my friend, tonight, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord tonight. And be saved. Because you may never get another opportunity to come to Christ. And they came unto Him from every quarter. Oh, for the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would draw sinners this night to Himself and save them for His honor and for His glory. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, I had picked a closing hymn, but I find it hard to close the meeting tonight, because if there is one in the meeting and God is speaking to your heart, don't leave the meeting without the Savior. And I don't think we'll close with a hymn. I think we'll just bow our heads and close with prayer. And I want God's people to pray. I don't know your quarters. I don't know your background. I don't know your circumstance. Maybe there's one in this meeting, and unknown to us, alcohol has a grip on your life. But you want set free from, you want done with it. My friend, Christ can snap those chains and set you free. Maybe there is sin in your life and you're struggling with it and it's brought you to an all-point low. I don't know that. But the Lord has brought you here tonight. And the Lord wants to save you. My friend, I can't save you. But thank God I can point you to the one that can. I'll be making my way to the door. And if you want to be saved or talk to me after the meeting, by all means, just you indicate. And then we'll find a little quiet spot where we're able to share further with you in the gospel. Let us just be still for a little moment. God's people pray. And sinner, you pray too. Lord, as our hearts are still, and as our heads are bowed, and Lord, as Thou art hovering over this meeting tonight, Lord, give the deciding grace. Lord, may there be no one in this meeting leave this house tonight without Christ, whether young or old. But, O God, may this be the night that they will gather to the cross and be one for Christ. Lord, bless this congregation. Keep it under the blood. And Lord, now as we separate one from the other, Lord, take us to our homes in safety. And Lord, keep us looking unto Thee, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.